Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
This morning, we're going to be diving right into it because I've got quite a bit of material to cover. And I'm excited about the message. We had a really powerful first service. Many people, I believe, got touched this morning. And I believe God's going to do the same thing in the second service. The message this morning is the nature of rejection. The nature of rejection. That's a subject that, you know, I think gets brought up fairly regularly in church circles because it is something that has to be dealt with. What's important when it comes to rejection is that we need to understand what rejection actually is. What is rejection? And I think when it comes to this specific topic, the best way to describe what it is to describe what it isn't. Or rather, what the opposite of rejection is. So the opposite of rejection would obviously be to be accepted, or acceptance, or to be approved. So for example, just to give you a basic example, if I didn't make the football team, I was rejected. That can be a form. I wasn't accepted on the team. That can be a form of rejection. So in other words, if you're not approved, if you're not accepted, that basically is what rejection is. Rejection can start very, very early in a person's life. And if we're very honest with ourselves, I think almost everybody in this room has at some point been affected by rejection in some or other way. Because it comes in many different forms. And it also, the level of the way that rejection affects us is also sometimes completely different. On one hand, rejection can come and it can be kind of mild and not really have much of an effect on us. On the other hand, rejection can be very, very intense, and it can really affect our lives to the point that this morning I really need to show you just how serious rejection can be in the life of a believer. The good news, and I want to say this right from the beginning because I'm going to go right into it, and I'm just going to hammer the points out this morning because some of them are hard to face and hard to deal with. But I want to tell you right from the start that there is an answer, and that you don't have to wait to deal with this issue. You're going to deal with it today. Is that okay? God is going to touch you, and I'm going to show you from Scripture how God will remove this thing from you. In fact, what most of you in this room, not most of you, but a lot of you probably don't realize is that you already have what you need to deal with this rejection that may have come to you at some point in your life. So basically, rejection is not being accepted, and sometimes even to the point where we feel rejection as not being wanted. And that can be really difficult. Again, every one of us has probably suffered rejection at some point. But just to get right into it, I think one of the most extreme forms of rejection started at a very, very young age. So in other words, a child oftentimes feels rejected. What most of you may not realize is rejection can actually start even before you're born. In other words, a child in the womb can feel rejection. We know that children in the womb can feel different things because we know that when Jesus was in Mary's womb, that John the Baptist leapt with excitement when he heard that Jesus was there. So children have emotions, and I can really get into this about how extreme it is, you know, and how serious it really is, but children, even at a young age, can feel rejection before they have the awareness that we have when we're a little bit older. But for example, children can feel as if one of their parents maybe doesn't love them so much. That can be a form of rejection. Or perhaps a parent does absolutely outright reject a child or reject their family. Remember, if a father, for example, rejects his family, that whole family will suffer rejection. Unfortunately, the children suffer very, very much when someone has to deal with rejection. It's incredible because, you know, and this is, please, guys, I'm going to just go after this because I want to deal with the issues. But understand something. We're all under the blood, and there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So if maybe you are sitting here and maybe you rejected your children, I want you to know that there's grace and forgiveness for you at the cross. Amen? So please, but I want to deal with it because there may be sitting somebody here that perhaps your parents got divorced. Divorce can be very difficult for kids because it's not that the parents do anything intentionally or want to hurt the children. But what often happens is, let's just say normally the parents were together, so they were with the kids the whole time. Now one of the parents leave the home. immediately that child begins to feel some form of guilt. Was it perhaps them that caused the divorce? I've had young people sit in my office many, many times that have said to me, young as 3, 4, 5 years old, have said to me, "Pastor Alex, was it because of me that they got divorced?" And what happens, for example, is, let's just give an example. Say the mom is the children are living with the dad, and the mom's not there anymore. The mom still loves the child, but it's not there all the time. So just the separation causes a form of rejection. And it can come in many, many different ways to children specifically. Even in a family, we often see that some children suffer from rejection as being one of the kids. If you're a family and you have many children, sometimes one of the kids kind of the one that, you know, just not intentionally again, but just sort of don't get as much attention or as much love. And that child often feels rejected. Again, I'm just going to dive right in. Many times the middle child, if you've got 3 or 4 or 5, the ones in the middle tend to be the ones that get kind of like, not neglected, but not given as much attention. And so because of that, they suffer from rejection. They feel like they've been rejected. They feel that you give more attention to the oldest and the little one needs more attention, so you're giving more attention to them. And you doing the best that you can, but the enemy knows how to do this. He's been doing it a long time, so he goes after the ones in the middle. Is that okay? Listen, guys, don't worry. Be happy, because the Lord your God is with you. Man, I actually wish I could preach the end right now, because I know the solution. And I'm telling you right now, the devil, his happy place is unforgiveness. His happy place is rejection, because he wants to paralyze you for what God has planned for you. But I want you to know that God has a plan for you today, not tomorrow, not next week. We're going to deal with this thing today. Amen. All right. Let's move off that. Let's look at, you know, sometimes a child can be rejected, or someone can be rejected by a family member. A brother can reject a sister, or vice versa. Or for example, I come out of a really big family. I have a brother and a sister, but I'm half Italian, half Greek, which means that Christmases were like going to a baseball game. You know, there was hundreds of people, and sometimes, you know, cousin Joe is, you know, more favored than cousin Alex. No, not really. Okay. Bad example. But what would happen basically is, you can feel rejected by your family. You can feel like the uncles and the aunts, they favor the one child over the other. And that rejection can be pretty serious in the case of an individual. Again, everybody experiences at a different level. Sometimes, and this is why we need to deal with this again straight this morning, you know, young people, I want to talk specifically to you this morning. Be very, very careful. Young ladies especially. Don't go and have sex before marriage. Don't go sleep around when you're young. Because the chances are that guy's going to end up leaving you. And the rejection you're going to feel is going to be very, very heavy and very, very difficult to deal with. Because covenant is a very powerful thing. And blood covenant is even more powerful. And so when you do that and you break up, that breakup can cause very intense rejection. That's why keep yourself away from those things. Keep yourself, wait for your husband. You know, young men, do the same. Wait for God to bring the right person at the right time and when you're old enough. Is that okay? Because again, the chances are you're going to feel rejected if there's a breakup. Okay? And that goes beyond the fact that it's just not right in the sight of God. But young people specifically, they experience great rejection at a young age. They experience it specifically in relationships. Let's go now to the next level when it comes to betrayal. In a marriage, betrayal can be extremely difficult. In fact, most people will tell you, psychologists and people that have studied this, will tell you that a form of betrayal in a marriage is equivalent to experiencing death. Because it feels like that person has died. It can be so hard. That loss, that pain that you experience, that rejection that the person feels on the basis of that betrayal. And I've seen it many, many times in marriage. When that happens, there's a lot of healing that needs to take place. The good news is that God is a healer. Amen? So He does heal. If you're sitting in this room, the chances are that at some point in your schooling life specifically, you experienced being rejected by some kids. You know, unfortunately, young people have a tendency to be very cliquey, and there's often bullies and people that pick on people. And so that causes a lot of inner rejection. And that rejection can oftentimes be very severe. We've seen extreme cases in schools where children suffer from very heavy rejection because of what takes place in their circle of friends, their classroom, or even just in the school as a whole. You oftentimes see children totally isolated because they just don't want to get hurt again by somebody that hurt them or because of a situation that happened. This goes beyond school. In fact, in adult life too, you're experiencing it often. There are times that you'll feel like you just don't fit in the group. You'll feel like people just don't like you, or they just don't respond to you. They like everybody else, but they don't like you. And you feel that rejection. It's not fun. Is that okay, guys? It's very quiet in Vero Beach. Listen, you can be rejected on a sporting team. When I was a young man in South Africa, which was very, very long ago, I played ice hockey. I know it's crazy. In Africa, I played ice hockey. And you know, the ice rink closed in where I lived. And for a couple of years, there was very little hockey played. And they opened a new rink near me. And I was very excited because I played when I was younger. And so when we went to this new rink, I was like the superstar. I was the only guy that could skate. So, you know, I was really good. And it was awesome. 1 or 2 years went by, and I thought that my awesomeness and my greatness would sustain me, but the other guys got really good. In fact, they got much better than me. And what ended up happening was they chose the team to make like the state team. When they did the announcement for the state team of who would be there, I was like, man, I'm in there. I'm going to be chosen. I didn't get chosen, and it hurt. It was a form of rejection, and I was so upset. I couldn't understand it. And then I remember sitting in the dressing room afterwards, and I was like, you know, really tough. I'm fine. Don't worry about it, guys. You know, I'm like the only forward on my team that didn't make it. It was really disappointing, and it really affected me. I said to Naomi, I didn't talk to the church, the previous crowd, about my comeback, but we'll share that for another day. But that rejection was really hard. It was really, really hard for me to deal with. Many people experience that. Some people will be rejected in their workplace, again, by cliques, oftentimes by your boss. Sometimes you go for a job interview, the rejection is hard, especially when you go for one after another, after another, after another. And eventually you feel like, man, is there something wrong with me that nobody wants to employ me? Guess what? You weren't accepted. So you may have suffered some rejection. Now, why are we doing this? Why are we going into this morning? Because it's very, very important. You know, the other thing, and I need to say this is important before I move on. I think the most intense and dangerous form of rejection is self-rejection. And normally it will spur from another form of rejection, but ultimately you'll begin to self-reject. A lot of people self-reject because of the way they look, because of their weight, because of their height, something like that. Listen, you are wonderfully and beautifully made. Is that okay? Just the way you are. God made you the way you are. Listen, no one has your voice, your stature, your demographic, your color, whatever. God made you because He needs you right where you are. And He created you right the way you are. Don't reject yourself. Is that okay? All right. Every single one of us wants to be loved and accepted. If we're honest with ourselves, you know, I know some guys, well, you know, I don't need to feel that way. Of course you do. We all want that. We all want to be loved and accepted, every single one of us. It's totally natural for us to feel that way. Here's the problem, and this is why we need to address this morning. You see, rejection is something that kind of flies under the radar. What I mean by that is that sometimes when you experience especially an intense rejection, that rejection will take place and be so deep that it will cut into your spirit. Now, you must understand, you compose of a spirit, a soul, and a body. Let me show you something quickly. Now, most of you know this, but let's just go there. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. This scripture tells you that your spirit knows everything about you. It's the part of you that remembers and knows everything. But your soul, your mind, your emotions, your will, your intellect, that part sometimes forgets things. Or let me put it to you this way, has a tendency to use a coping mechanism. That coping mechanism causes you to forget those things that actually hurt you really, really intensely. But your spirit never forgets. Your spirit knows everything. The scripture goes on to say, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So guess what? Even if your spirit is hurt, when God's Spirit comes in, He comes to fix everything. He already knew you would be right where you were the day that you got saved. He already knew you'd have those issues, those problems, those things that took place that cut to your spirit. He knew it. And He will heal you and deliver you because He's already done it. Okay. Now, why do I say that it's so intense? Let's take a look. Isaiah 54 verse number 6 says this. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. So where's the issue? In spirit. Small s, which means it's your spirit. Likewise, a youthful wife, when you were refused, says your God. In other words, he's comparing the intensity of being cut into your spirit, hurt into your spirit, when you were rejected as a youthful person. Now, this is speaking of someone that's married, for example. But I want you to see that rejection can be so intense that it can actually affect you in your spirit. It can actually hurt your spirit. This is pretty deep now, right? We're going kind of deep this morning. Is that okay? We're going deep because we want to heal this thing. Is that all right? Proverbs 18 verse 14 says this. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. In other words, when your spirit isn't, when your spirit is doing well, when your spirit is okay, even when your body, even when your mind begins to get affected by the things of this world, your spirit will actually sustain you because that's the deep part of who you are. However, it says, but who can bear a broken spirit? In other words, if your spirit gets injured and rejection is one of those things that can potentially damage your spirit. If your spirit gets injured, the Bible says, who can bear it? So what does that mean? What it means is this. It means that when your spirit gets injured, your spirit will cause your body to react. Your body will react. You may not be aware that there's a problem or that that problem is something that maybe happened to you when you were a child. But I want you to know that your spirit is very aware of it. Your soul begins to respond to that broken spirit. That's, for example, why some people suffer from addiction. This is not the only cause, but this is what can happen. Is that what happens is they turn to addiction, and that addiction, they go to AA, they go all over the place to try and get healed, but the problem's not on the outside, the problem's deep. And they have to deal with that problem, because if they don't deal with that problem, now listen, places like the AA and places, they do actually practice going in after the issue. Okay, so that's good. So I'm not running that down. But what I'm trying to say is people try and fix it with a lot of the things that are on the outside. I've heard people, I've had people in my office, Pastor Alex, I've tried everything to get rid of this addiction or to get rid of this problem or to fix my marriage. I've tried everything. Nothing works. Well, the problem is we're not going after the main issue. We're addressing the outside. We're addressing the cause or the response to the issue. That's why it's so critical that we deal with the spirit when there's a problem. Let me give you one more scripture. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. Out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen, when it gets in your heart, when it gets into your inner man, it begins to affect you in every single dimension. And so we have to deal with it. We have to deal with that hurt. We have to deal with that problem. Now, let me go to the scriptures in Matthew 3, verse number 10. Let's take a look at something real quick. Jesus makes a statement. He says, and even now, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I want you to see, in order to remove the tree, you have to address it where? At the root. You see, you can't, if you want to cut a tree down, you can't cut the whole tree down but leave the stem and the roots. ultimately what will happen is that tree will begin to blossom again and those branches will go back. That's why many Christians will experience soulish issues, and those soulish issues will cause a response which will be sin, sexual immorality, different types of addiction, whatever it is, and we go after dealing with that thing, we don't go after the root. But in order to get the root uprooted or taken or the whole tree removed, we have to go right for the root of the problem. Many, many times in a believer's life, you are saved, you love the Lord, you're serving God, but you haven't dealt with that root, which could possibly be rejection. Remember, everybody's story is different. Everybody's journey is different. But perhaps you may be struggling with something that's external, not knowing why it doesn't go away, and you might have to find out that the problem could be it's because you were rejected as a child. It's because you were rejected as a teenager. It's because you were rejected even when you were married. There could have been some form of rejection, and the response basically caused you to get to that point. Now, what the enemy does is the enemy will take a root issue, and then things will begin to manifest out of that. So for example, rejection can lead to loneliness. Now you may listen to this, what I'm about to tell you, and figure out while I'm saying this to you that you are somewhere on this journey. The good news is that journey ends today. All right? So that's good news. Loneliness can lead to misery, which can lead to self-pity, which can lead to depression. Have you ever heard someone say this? I'm so depressed, and they're suffering, and that's genuine. I mean, this isn't fake. This is real. These people are struggling. But they say, but I don't know why. Have you heard that? Man, I've been counseling for years. I've heard that many times. Why don't they know why? Because surface, everything seems okay. But at the root, the issue that is still there hasn't been dealt with. So what do we need to do? We need to get rid of the root. Depression can lead to despair, and despair can ultimately lead to what we don't even want to talk about. That's what a root can end up doing, because ultimately when something's rooted, it grows. The roots don't look like the fruit. They look a whole lot different. But the fruit is what ends up being what's potentially dangerous and potentially harmful to your life. That's when those things, those sins, those addictions, whatever it is, it could be anything. Listen, overeating is an addiction. We have to be careful, right? Now, one thing that we've seen is that sometimes people, when they suffer from rejection, what happens to them is they become very, very hard. And the reason why they become hard is because they begin to have this mindset. I'm not going to allow anybody else to get close to me because I'm not going to let myself get hurt again. Man, I've heard that in counseling so many times. Well, you know, I don't have friends, or I can't connect in the U groups, or I can't connect because the truth is, you know, I just kind of like, you know, I just don't want to put myself out there. Well, the reason why you don't want to put yourself out there is because you're suffering from rejection. And we need to deal with that rejection. Because as you saw, it's not affecting maybe your soul like you think it is. It's affecting your spirit. And your spirit, the only way that thing can really deal with it is to go to where the source is, which is Jesus. But it isn't doing that. It's busy getting healed by doing things that, or trying to be healed by doing things with the flesh. Listen, you will never ever satisfy yourself with the flesh. The flesh will always desire more. Because it's a fallen nature. And a fallen nature ultimately causes death. So it will end up causing you to go down a path that will lead to ultimate destruction. The only answer to dealing with a hurt, a pain, a rejection, an abuse, whatever it is, the only way to deal with it is to uproot it. Oh man, and I have the solution this morning. I want you to know I have the solution. And I can't wait to share it with you. I just can't wait. Amen? So how do we deal with rejection? How do we deal with it? John 8, verse 32, this tells us how to do it. Because ultimately, if you have rejection, you want to be what? Free from that rejection. So the Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, once you understand what actually happens to rejection in the life of a believer when they go to Jesus. Once you get a revelation of what really took place at Calvary. Listen, guys, most of us have a revelation that Jesus took our sins and that we are forgiven. And unfortunately, so many Christians, that's where it ends for them. Are you kidding me? That's like the entry point of the goodness of God. Because at Calvary, Jesus did so much more than just take away your sins. Yeah, but you know, how do I know it's for me? How do you know that you're saved? Because you believe that He took away your sins. You believe that He wrote, that there was an exchange. Your sins for His innocent death. He took it upon Himself, right? So because we have faith and we believe this, that's how we know that He's done it. Well, guess what? At the cross, there was an exchange that took place, not only for your sins. Listen, the Bible says He was punished for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. The Bible says that by His stripes you were healed. Listen, His flesh was torn so you could be physically healed. They have tried so hard to debunk the fact that that actually speaks of physical healing. Let me tell you, it does. 100%. Dr. Michael Brown did a whole dissertation on the God who heals, Rapha. And if you study it, he tried so hard to actually debunk it, and he couldn't, because ultimately it means restoration. It means that God can restore you. God can heal you. Listen, God still physically heals even today. He is good. Let me tell you, He is good. At the cross, there was an exchange. There was an exchange for sin. There was an exchange for shame. There was an exchange for deliverance and for healing. Everything that you need is at the cross. Unfortunately, the devil doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to think that, you know, that the only thing you'll have, and even this we struggle to grasp, is righteousness. He gave us His righteousness and He took ours, which is not righteous at all. Now, what about rejection? Was there an exchange at the cross for rejection? And the answer is yes. So what does that mean? That means if He took your sins, He'll take your rejection. This is, I just pray with all my heart that just at least 5 people catch this morning. It's a spirit. Like fear is a spirit. He has not given us a spirit of fear. So the enemy will come and try and grasp a hold of you, to try and cripple you from becoming who God has called you to be. And what God wants you to know, that at the cross, He paid for everything that's happened to you. The problem's not that what He's done. The problem is our minds don't grasp. We don't fathom that He's actually so good. That's why you need to study Old Testament scripture. Some people say, well, have you read Old Testament scripture? You say, how mean God is. No. Have you seen how good He is in the Old Testament? If you study scripture, you will see how wonderful and kind and merciful He is, to the point where He would do whatever He could to protect His people. Man, okay, let's go. We need to have a look. Did Jesus suffer rejection so that we can give Him our rejection? And the answer is absolutely yes. But I want you to know something. Not only did He suffer rejection, He suffered double rejection. The first thing is, let's go in our Bibles to Ephesians 53, verse number 3. Ephesians 53, verse number 3. The Bible says this. Now watch. He is despised. And what? Everybody say it again. He was rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we did not esteem Him. In other words, on the cross, Jesus was rejected by men. But listen, God knew in His omniscience, in His awesomeness, that there would be more needed. There would be more needed. So what did He do? He allowed His Son to suffer rejection. This is so powerful. Take a look at this. Matthew 27, verse 46. Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the 9th hour, Jesus is hanging on the tree, on the cross. Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? In other words, when Jesus was on the cross, he felt a rejection from the Father, because the Father knew that your rejection would need to be taken away. So he turned his face, or rejected his own son. And when he rejected his own son, there was an exchange that was made available to you and I. I want you to know, I don't care how deep that rejection is. I don't care how extreme that rejection is. There's an exchange that's going to take place this morning in this place. That rejection will be taken out of you because it's been given to him. He suffered rejection at the cross, so you don't have to be rejected anymore. Come on, somebody give the Lord a clap and a shout, man. I don't know about you, but I think I've got something to shout about. Oh, you know, Pastor Alex, you shout too much. Listen, your problem is you've lost your shout. The Bible says even the rocks will cry out. Listen, when Jesus cried this out, the Bible doesn't say he whispered. He knew what was happening. He was suffering the most deep, intense suffering you can possibly imagine. And he had you and I in mind. And he knew the devil would do everything he can to stop you. And that's why he had to suffer the way that he did, even rejection from his own Father. And let me tell you something, there is no love like that love. The love that comes from the Father, that even you and I experience. Imagine for his own son, for his one and only son, the way that he loved him, to turn his face or to turn himself away because he loves you so much, so that you could just give him your rejection, so that it has been done, it's been paid for in full. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. It has been taken away. This morning in this place, rejection will not be your portion. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse number 6. I just love this so much. Listen, I'm going to shout again. I can't help myself. Just can't help myself. I'll shout by myself. I'm okay with that. I pray really early in the morning. I worry about my neighbors sometimes. There's that crazy preacher. Someone's got to be crazy for Jesus. Amen. Ephesians 1, 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Everybody say, thank you for your grace, Lord. You see, where do you find grace? At the cross. At the cross. By which he made us. This is so good. He made us what? Accepted. But this is the most beautiful thing. The word accepted there in the Greek is the word charitos, charitu actually. And charitu means, it means more than just accepted. What it really means is it means to be highly favored. To be, to for favor to be bestowed upon you. In other words, listen to this. When you went to him, not only did he accept you, but you are highly favored. Not only did you make the team, but you are his favorite player. He holds you high. He regards you highly because he's put something in you, man. He's put something in you. There is a secret. There is a treasure on the inside of you. And Satan, the stinky devil, he wants to keep that thing down. He wants to stop you. And if he can keep rejection in your spirit, if he can keep you in that area, you'll always be manifesting these small things that keep you from getting in closer to God. That is not your portion. I want you to know, he says in his word, he says that he has made us accepted in the beloved. Listen, the word beloved is actually related to the word agape. It's agapeo. It's so powerful. It actually speaks that we are drawn to him, and that's the kind of love he has for you. A love that doesn't expect anything in return. A love that is the greatest kind of love. That's the love he had for Jesus, that he put Jesus through everything he did for you and I. For you and I. So what does that mean? That means there's only one step. to receiving it. All you have to do is forgive. You have to forgive. Because the Bible says if you do not forgive, you cannot be forgiven. And don't stop. Don't let the devil say to you, well, I'm not going to do that. Don't you want to be free? This morning, give it to him. Give it to him. Go and lay it down at the cross. And when you leave this morning, when you leave the cross this morning, that rejection will stay there. It will not follow you out the building. Can we all close our eyes for just a moment? Come, the presence of God is so strong this morning. Father, we just love you so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.